Are you wanting to dive into that home repair but just don't know where to begin? Let the Rosie on the House show go to work for you. Get on the line now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
That sounds good for a Saturday morning at Rosie on the House. Now, see, I can't listen to this kind of music when I'm trying to paint.
Why is that?
Don, before I break out the paintbrushes and the rollers and the paint cans, I have to go into a three-day meditative state. Rosie, slow down. Rosie, slow down. I have to go into like a trance.
I think that music would be good to paint too. Get you moving. Good rhythm.
I've got to listen to like some concert music, you know, some classical music, and just go with the flow, go soft, go easy. We're talking painting here with Don Breeze from Rosie on the House Remodeling, and we've talked a little bit about prepping a room, this hypothetical room that we're painting, and we've talked about how to tuck the carpet and how to tape it down. You know, another thing that's very hard is if it's a tile floor and somebody hasn't been careful, and then trying to get the paint out of that grout.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's always a mess. I hate that.
Yeah.
So when you're taping off a tile floor at the bottom of a baseboard, how do you get it in there tight enough, you know, where the grout dips below the surface of the tile? How do you get in there and really stop the paint from soaking in underneath your tape?
Well, the technique that we use, or is most commonly used by professional painters, is that you actually have just a small little edge of that tape that's actually adhering to the very, very bottom of that baseboard. And then after you get done painting it, you take a razor knife and you just lightly score right along that tape edge. When you pull the tape, it looks nice, it's straight, it's clean, and you've kept the paint from bleeding underneath that tape edge into the grout.
There's your trick tip of the day, folks. Donnie, that's great. Listen, we've got Linda on hold with a paint project she'd like to talk about. And I'm going to take Linda, and then we're going to come back and talk about this hypothetical room. I want to paint the baseboards a different color than my wall. Which do I do first, wall or baseboard? And what are the tricks for getting a really nice straight line between those two dissimilar products? But let's go to Linda first, calling from Phoenix. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I'd like to know what I did wrong when I painted my door interior doors.
Okay.
When I moved into this condo that was built in the 70s, and I don't think it had been painted since then, I tried to paint them white over a little off-white color. And no matter how many coats I put on, I still see the roller marks and partly glossy and partly not. And what did I do wrong?
And Linda, are you painting these doors on the hinges in place, hung up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, Donnie, take her through what she's probably fighting.
Okay. Painting a door's a little level up, if you will, in technical skill or ability. But if you get a what's called a skinny mini roller, it's one of those little rollers you can get at box store or paint stores, and it's about 6 inches long. You get a small nap. And then one of the things that you want to do, despite what the manufacturer's label or the recommendation from the paint company is temper it with a little bit of water. Add a little water, or there's also a product called Floetrol. And what that does is extend the wet time of the paint, let you work it a little longer. It also helps the paint to do what's called level, which is smooth itself out during the drying process. And so you would apply most of the paint with that skinny mini roller, short nap, and then of course any handwork that you need to do. Let's say it's a panel door, 6-panel, 4-panel door. After you apply the paint with the roller, you'll just go ahead and run those little detail areas out with your brush real quick, and then lay the whole door surface off with the roller. And generally speaking, that will ensure that you've covered all the surfaces. The sheen will dry evenly and consistent, and you'll get rid of some of the tool markings, so that nappy look or those brush lines.
And I think sometimes a 6-panel colonist paint grade is easier to get a good paint on than a completely flat.
Yes, and that's because of the angle. Yeah,
you got all those angles working in your favor.
Breaking up your vision, your ability to see those.
But how about that slab door? I mean, and when you talk about adding a little bit of paint, I'm thinking you're taking the 1 gallon can and you're pouring it into a painter's cup or a painter's bucket, you know. And how much water are you adding to that? Are you cutting it 10-to-1? Are you cutting it 1-to-1? I mean.
Well, to a gallon, I would say a fair or a good amount to start with is a cup of water.
A cup of water to a gallon.
And then you mix that up thoroughly, or you use that product Floetrol. It's a latex extender. Does the same thing. To a 5 gallon bucket of paint, you would add about half a gallon of water or half a gallon of Floetrol. And that slab door is the trickier of the two.
It is the hardest.
It is, even for professional painters. if you're applying the paint with a hand tool. Yeah.
And generally speaking, a professional painter, you would take those off the hinges, move them to a paint area in the garage and spray them, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sprayed finish is more refined looking and it takes away the tool marks. But if you have to use, you know, if you're going to do it by hand, which most homeowners are, you just make sure the surface is all red. It's ready. It's free from dust and your sanding and prep work. And then cut your edges in, get your door edges painted, your tops and bottoms, and then apply the paint to the face of the door. Get it evenly distributed, and then real quickly just go back and start on the left side and just lay the paint off from left to right or right to left.
And she's painting white on white, a slab door. Mm-hmm. Is there a harder color on a harder application than that? Maybe would a change of color make it a little easier for her?
Not necessarily. Okay. I mean, some of the pastels or the light earthens have some good coverage, but if you get into colors that have, a lot, any blues, yellows, reds, those are colors that are harder to cover. So white on white's generally pretty good.
You know, all this technique and stuff is awesome, but don't you have to go back a little bit and pick the color? That is so hard to do. It made me think about it this week. I was reading Barb Kaplan's article. She wrote the Bejaro method. Your homes don't have feelings, but you do. You know, your room doesn't have feelings.
Yeah.
But that is kind of a thought process that makes it easier for you. But I can get frozen just thinking, what is the right color to pick? And Donnie, you've done things for me before, and you have a way of, I was so happy with the color you helped me pick out, but how do you find out what somebody wants? And it's like trying to figure out a hairdo somebody wants. How do you get that out of your mind or out of your customer's mind and then onto the wall with something they're happy with?
Well, and oddly enough, that's a fair comparison. I think it just starts by one from the professional painter standpoint, is you listen to what the customer expectation is. And then the paint companies have developed pretty good visual tools in their trifolds and in their, color literature that allows or suggests compatible colors. And usually that's a good jumping off spot. A really good rule is never buy your paint from a color swatch. That's not the way to make the paint color decision. When you feel like you have one or two good considerations in color, you want to get a small container of that, sample container of that made up, actually apply some of it to the surface in the room where you're at because you've got lighting issues. And color is always relative to your personal perspective. And so all that is very good legwork into choosing the color because that lets you see the color on the surface in the room. And that is the most helpful way you can go about doing that.
Romy's the one that taught me how to use color when he painted Remy's nursery. What was that saddle brown you put on there?
You know, it was a brown that Amanda had for the baby crib. So I actually took that material and had it matched at the paint. It was a brown and a blue, and I went and had it matched at a paint shop. But and it went on great. We did brown on one, and I think blue on the other two sides. But I tell you, the most interesting thing was when I got that done, you realize just how bad the ceiling is. I'm like, wow, I can't leave it like that. It looks half done.
Go ahead.
So it was just white, so I just went to – I got a gallon of white, and it was I had to try it because I was so curious, but when you painted it, it went on pink. so you could see where you had painted and where you hadn't, and it dried white. How do they do that?
That's a chemist thing.
That's fascinating.
You and I were talking. It's like tracer paint. I don't know. I've actually heard of people putting dish soap into the paint. It creates an effect that you can see wet that allows you to see where the paint actually is and where your applications have been made. And then when the paint dries, you don't see that effect anymore. But I don't know. It's really cool technology how they do that.
Well, we talked earlier in the show about two projects at my house that revolve around painting a ceiling. And I hate painting a ceiling. Do you have any tips on how you can make that less miserable experience?
Hire it done. Nobody likes painting ceilings, but really it's don't apply the paint directly under the roller. Buy a longer roller. They sell roller frames in 15 inch lengths and even 18 inch lengths. A lot of garage floor companies will use those, and it gives you a broader application, and so it happens quicker. And really, it's just cover and protection. So you make sure everything's adequately protected, because paint is going to rain down on you.
How are you protecting the walls?
Well, the walls, ideally, if you're going to paint your ceilings, you're doing those first. You always start with the highest surface with respects to the painting applications, and then you work yourself exponentially down. So ceilings first, walls second, and then usually you'll do your baseboards last as a rule of thumb.
Don't have to particularly worry about the wall protection. Just make sure you've got your covered. Now, if we're painting the ceiling, is there a particular roller material you like better that holds paint better and splatters less?
Yes. There's roller covers. Basically, you can buy 100% lamb's wool. The advantage to that is lamb's wool is very absorbent, so it loads up your roller cover with quite a bit of material. And as you're applying that, you're able to get further along in that application or in that respect. And then there's 50-50, which is 50% lamb's wool, 50% polyester. And that is a tighter nap tool that does not stand the paint up when you're doing the back rolling of the product. So I'd say the ceiling, most time on ceilings, I would use like a 50-50 cover. It doesn't throw as much paint as typically lamb's wool will.
I tell people, go ahead and get your painter's hood cover. Go ahead and
put a hat on.
Go ahead and put a hat on. Cover yourself up good. Put
get
on
your
long
goggles.
Sleeve.
Yep.
Get your goggles.
Yep.
And I don't only say buy a long handled roller. I say buy a handle extension that you can screw the roller handle on. Get that extended handle and get it 2 feet away from you.
Yeah. So on 8 or 9 foot ceilings, we use a 4 to 8 foot telescoping roller handle. And that lets you, make the applications, 6-7 feet away from yourself as you're rolling out that ceiling surface.
Tricks and tips of interior painting with Don Breeze of Rosie on the House Remodeling. We've got Fran has another question for you. But the big question now of all is, okay, now that you've got these rollers that have soaked up all this paint, are they worth cleaning or do you just throw them away?